Hey, gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radios, coming to you from the beautiful new co-certified studios in beautiful downtown Burbank. I'll be taking calls today. That number here at RBN is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. There's so much to talk about. Where do we even possibly start? Well, I guess just because it's the most dangerous thing on the immediate horizon, we could talk a little bit about Syria first. Maybe we'll start with Syria first. So the press and the neocons in the Trump administration are trying to hoax up some other kind of gas attack. We've had it twice before. The first time was when Princess Shiksa Ivanka Trump, she saw, somebody showed her a picture of a baby in a gas mask, and it made her sad, and she went and asked Daddy for a pony, and while you're getting the pony for me, could you kill a bunch of Syrians at the same time? Bomb Syria for me, please, Daddy, and the pony. And for whatever reason, whether Donald Trump felt he was hemmed in, whether he believed some of this stuff at the time, I mean, it's hard to know. It came just coincidentally, just days after he had announced it was not U.S. policy to try to remove Assad. But coincidentally, as soon as Assad knows, oh, well, I don't have anything to worry about from the United States. And of course, President Trump had campaigned on not getting involved in Syria. That's a funny time to start using these banned weapons when the financier of your enemy has said, well, we're getting out of the business. We'll just let these people fend for themselves, when you know they're not going to fend for themselves. It would be they were on the ropes, and the only thing that could save them would be something like a gas attack by the Syrian government, which for some reason complied and did a gas attack. The whole thing was a hoax. And then a year later to the date, almost the exact same thing, the exact same type of events. The Syrian army with their Russian allies, Russian air support, and Iranian and Lebanese Hezbollah ground support was just basically starting mop-up operations. But no, you know, it would have been so easy, but then there's another gas hack, gas hoax, where you've got, we've got video evidence of a room with children in it, and adults are pouring water over the children's head with a garden hose. Clear evidence of a gas attack. It's really stupid. And next thing you know, President Trump is tweeting out that Assad is a monster. He is a gas-killing monster. Is he killing gas? I mean, it's stupid. And one doesn't know what to think about Trump. Is he that easily fooled? I mean, obviously, in April, when this happened, you've got him under threat of impeachment. You got this whole Mueller investigation. His back's against the wall. How much is because he thinks this is going to buy him a little bit of breathing space? How much does he actually believe? And of course, the second gas hoax came right after he had gotten rid of his first gas hoaxing national security advisor in favor of a second gas hoaxing national security advisor. So H.R. McMaster is replaced by John Bolton. Well, it's own, and of course Nikki Haley, the gas hoaxing whore. By the way, just you can look up. There's all sorts of stuff on her. Whatever. I mean, I guess if I'm not going to condemn Donald Trump for his escapades with porno actresses. Maybe I shouldn't criticize Nikki Haley for all of her well-documented escapades with married men, although the married women, in one case, who divorced her husband because of those escapades and named Nikki Haley specifically as the other woman in her divorce proceedings. Maybe I shouldn't be so harsh on Nikki Haley, but still, she's the skankbassador, the American skankbassador, the Indian American skankbassador to the United Nations, and she's been promoting all these gas hoaxes. And now, with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Oh, Al-Qaeda, who are they? They're our brave allies who supposedly attacked us on 9/11. I mean, I don't know, but that's what they say on 9/11 17 years ago. But now there are the brave rebels who are fighting against the gas-killing monster Assad. And they've been pushed into this corner of Syria known as Idlib province. And they're on the ropes, and they're going to be mopped up. Oh, but wait a minute. Apparently, through some sort of press release or something, Assad has been saying that he is going to gas them. Why? Because he's that stupid? Because he's that evil? I mean, what kind of really nursery school fantasy storybook are we supposed to believe that on the verge of victory, it's more important to Assad to just be evil for the sake of being evil rather than actually winning this 6 year, 6 to 7 year long war against, I guess it's been going on 6.5 years, against these foreign invaders who have been aided and financed by Israel and the United States and Saudi Arabia and at times Turkey. Jordan has facilitated their entry into the country. This foreign invasion that we call the Syrian Civil War is on the verge of winning it. Is this news to my listeners? I don't think it's news to my listeners. But they're trying to hoax up another gas attack now. And who's buying it? I don't know. Now, there's this group, the White Helmets, and last week, Mark Dankoff was on the show, and he was tying the White Helmets to these American organizations tied to the CIA, you know, based in near Langley, Virginia, where the CIA headquarters is. And you can go back and listen to my show from last week if you want to. That's one of the things I like about doing radio is you get to respond to things promptly. One of the problems with it, though, as opposed to print or text media, is it's a lot harder to go back and, you know, like point to something that you wrote. I mean, it's easy to go back and point to something you wrote in an article, and somebody can Google it and get right to that quote. With radio, it tends to go off into the ether, although it may well be that somebody in the bowels of the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center is actually listening to it. I have the feeling that these shows aren't really being listened to by them. They're just automatically flagging them for Google, who then bans them in 40 countries in Europe. I don't know if they're really listening or not. And that's something I'm going to be testing at some point soon, but not on this show. Now, apparently, the Russians are have targeted these White Helmets, this supposed, you know, group of first responders, nonprofit, but actually they are terrorist allies of ISIS. And their headquarters, apparently, I haven't seen really firm news report, but I've heard that their headquarters in Idlib has been bombed, which, well, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. They haven't lived by the sword so much as living by the hoax. So, I know that a lot of people on this, in my listenership, have been much more willing to abandon the idea of Trump as being basically on our side. I've been much less willing to do so. I'm willing to attribute things to mistakes, to him being against the wall. But let's see what our listeners think. And first listener we have is Jeremy from Kentucky. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I hope I haven't worn out my welcome on the RBN call.
Not at all. You're always...
Very good. Perhaps they'll let me know in the chat room if I've worn it out. I don't know. You just have such interesting things. And I got to tell you, the last 2 days have been fascinating, sir. When you all interviewing, you and Dr. Duke interviewing Reverend Dankoff, and then Dr. Duke had a guest this morning on a show that was utterly fascinating, talking about all the biblical things and the traditional Christian view of the Jews.
And how did that square with your understanding of, because I'm not a biblical scholar, but you're much more of a biblical scholar. How did that square with your understanding of the Bible and eschatology?
Well, Reverend Dankoff is pretty close. Being a Lutheran, you know, I'm very familiar with what he believes. We differ a little bit on some points of eschatology.
And how about Blake Sawyer, who was Dr. Duke's guest this morning?
Yeah, Blake Sawyer is much closer to what I'm believing than Reverend Dankoff, even though Reverend Dankoff is not far off. And, I mean, you know, I'm not a kid. I sound young. I'm over 40. I've studied for 28 years, so I've put serious time into this. And, yeah, the guest this morning, Blake, I mean, he was really spot on, and he's what traditional Christians were, you know, 50 or 60 years ago. So when I say I'm a traditional Christian, it's closer to what this theologian believes rather than the fake Christianity that's portrayed now. But you're talking about Syria, and the reason I guess I called in was to kind of give commentary on why this whole thing is going down. I mean, it's really the greater Israel, the Oded Yinon plan. Israel believes that that southern Syria belongs to them. And you have this strife going on since the 6th and 7th centuries B.C. when Assyria took the northern kingdom of Israel, the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim. And then you had, now there's a mix. The people that are in Syria now are not necessarily the same as the Assyrians. There's a mix of Arabs, yeah, Semitics, and Aryans.
Yeah, there's a mix. And I had a student once who... her family was from Syria. I guess she was from Syria, too. And she spoke the Assyrian language, and she was a Christian. And I think the Assyrian language, which was, you know, the language of the same language as in biblical time, that these people are still there, and at least a lot of them are Christians. Maybe they're all Christians, the Assyrians.
Yeah, well, what you had, of course, you know, the Assyrian kingdom stretched all the way to Babylon. And, you know, they were polytheistic, and then they blended with the Jews when they took the northern kingdom, the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, which were of the tribe of Joseph, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. So you had that mix going on. So some of them adopted this form of Judaism, and there you get the Samaritans who lived in northern Israel that were kind of a mix, and the Jews
and
really hated the
aren't
Samaritans.
Aren't there some Samaritans still around today?
I believe so. I'm more familiar with the historical concept of them. Mm-hmm. But then when Christianity spread, you did have the Eastern Orthodox Church, you know, the presence there in Syria, and that's where you get your Christians today. So, at any rate, the Jews want that land, and because it's in the Old Testament, and I could quote all of the scriptures, but, you know, there's no need doing that. It's there. They believe that they're supposed to have the land from the Mediterranean all the way through northern Syria, all the way over to the Euphrates, all the way down, encompassing northern Jordan, all the way to the Egypt and the Red Sea, and then back up to the Mediterranean. Well, that's a pretty big stretch of land. And that actually was a tract that they were claiming in the Old Testament. As the guest on Dr. Duke pointed out today, that claim was forfeited, and they were expelled from the land in 70 A.D. by Titus and Vespasian, the Roman generals. Mm. So, I mean, currently they're under... That's why I'm kind of detailing how I agree with the guest this morning, is that... you know, they're currently not supposed to be in the land, and they're trying to take the land back through treachery, war, globalist banking, and they're totally in the wrong. And as you know, I believe in the spiritual aspect of all this. But I guess my question to you would be, there's this talk of the Third Temple, okay? Everyone's talking about it. Orthodox Jews, Zionist Christians, even agnostic people like you have to look at the situation and say, there's a really good chance these Jews might get their Third Temple. I guess my question to you is, what do we do? What's the reaction? What's your reaction as an academic when you see the Third Temple? Because my reaction is, well, I see that as prophecy being fulfilled, but that evil is about to take the earth because the Third Temple is evil. What's your reaction?
Well, I mean, my reaction as a non-religious person would be, okay, you know, obviously, where do they build it? They build it on the Temple Mount, which means they have to get rid of the Al-Aqsa Temple. It's just going to create all sorts of religious, you know, more, not that there's not a lot of religious warfare going on already, but it's just going to throw oil onto the fire. So it's very significant because, you know, aside from its religious aspect, if people think it's important, it becomes important, right? Even if, no matter what you think of the reason that they think it's important. If they think it's important, they're willing to fight and die for it, it becomes very important. That's how I see it.
What would it? How would it affect your view of eschatology, study of the prophecy in the scriptures, if you saw that come to pass?
Well, okay. So, as somebody who's not religious, that doesn't mean anti-religious. That doesn't mean I'm declaring there's no God, because that's not what I'm doing. But somebody who's, I mean, you could say agnostic, you could say just not religious. But eschatology, well, what does that mean to me? It means to me perhaps a lot of the same things that the, and you know, I'm not trying to demean it in any way, but that, say, the protocols of Zion, what does that mean to me? I think that whoever wrote the protocols of Zion, which may well have been an agent of the Tsar, was somebody who was looking around and said, geez, look what these people are doing. This is where it's going to lead to, right? And so they wrote it as a, you know, they wrote it in the form of a conspiracy, but whether it was really a conspiracy or it was simply a prediction by a very astute person, in a way, doesn't matter. And the same with the eschatology. If they're looking around and saying, you know, these people behave a certain way, and I think that's going to lead to this, maybe the people were divinely inspired and thought that God was telling them this is how it's going to lead to, or maybe they weren't divinely inspired, but simply inspired. And, you know, from just their own rationality, thought, well, this is what it's going to lead to. There are predictions that are made in the past that wind up becoming true. People are always making predictions. Some of them are going to wind up being true, and some of them are going to wind up being true because the person making the prediction had a lot of insight and understanding.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We are back. It is National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Not too late to go there and click on the donate button. That's always a good thing to do. Am I still here with Jeremy from Kentucky?
I'm here, painting outside on a ladder.
Oh, okay, good. So, yeah, I have a couple more callers, but we're early in the show. So you heard what I had to say. I don't know how you feel about that, but I tried to answer your question.
Yeah, I'd like to address that real quick and then point out one more thing about the guest today, because he was very fascinating. But yeah, as far as you're comparing the eschatology to the protocols, that's a pretty decent comparison. I would point out that the protocols, most likely written in the early 20th century, were written at a time when global Judaistic power was fairly evident to those that knew where to look, especially to those that were in on it. So the prophecies in the Bible, however, were written, some of them, thousands of years ago. Now, you know, Jesus predicted the fall of Jerusalem, that not one stone will be left on another, and that was in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Now, that was fulfilled in 70 A.D. when the Romans sacked Jerusalem. They tore the temple down to the foundation to get all the gold out from between the stones. One could argue, well, the oldest copies of the New Testament that we have are the 2nd century A.D., so that was written afterwards. Okay, if you want to argue that. But a lot of these temple prophecies are... you know, some of the newer ones were written in 90 to 100 A.D. by the Apostle John, who was the longest living of all the apostles. And some of the earlier prophecies of the temple in Daniel 9 were written in the mid-5th century B.C. So if what I'm saying, I guess, is if we see a third temple pop up, I mean, there's no way these people that wrote that could have seen through all of the vast, you know, historical events, because at the time Daniel wrote that, the first temple had been torn down by the Babylonians. So he would, you know, he didn't even have any concept of the second temple being put up, which was the Herodian temple. So I would just point that out as far as, I guess my point is that if we see a third temple coming up, maybe we should reexamine this Bible thing a little more closely and see what it has to say, because it does predict a lot of evil coming on the earth, and I would see that as evil, and these Christians that support that, they're crazy. They're nuts. And then, if you would allow me, I want to bring out one more point where I do agree with your host, and maybe where I did question the host this morning on David Duke's show.
Okay.
He did mention that. Yeah, he did mention that these Christians who are deceived by the Jews, they are deceived by a spirit of the Antichrist, and I agree, and that they would die and go to hell because of this deception. I believe that that's true in a way. I just want to point out, just from my, you know, what the Bible does teach is that if you're a Christian, then this is what the Bible teaches. If you choose not to believe this, then this is on you. That, you know, Jesus paid for the sins of humanity, and it's not putting your full trust in him, and he's the truth. If you have him as the truth, you're not going to fall for this lie. So I would just like to point that out, that it's not your works that determine whether you go to heaven, because if that was the case, I would die and go to hell. I make mistakes all the time. I just wanted to point that out when you asked if I agreed with the guest today or not. I think that's where he was coming from. But as far as his view of Jews, the temple, and the coming evil, I agree with him. He was really spot on. And that's all I had to say on the matter. Do you have any commentary?
No, it's, I'm always happy to have you call up and you can talk about things. And there's, I mean, what you're talking about now is things that I don't think about that much, and I don't have a whole lot of expertise, but, so I just share my honest opinions. And, anyway, I know a lot of our audience really appreciates what you have to say, so I'm happy that you call.
Well, thank you, and I think it is very relevant, because these religious beliefs, like whether they're Orthodox Jews, Muslims, or Zionist Christians, they're driving foreign policy. They're driving what's going on and protecting us.
All right. Okay.
Well, that's all I had to offer.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, and next I'm going to go to Jeff from Greece. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Actually, it's George from Greece.
That's what I thought. I thought it was George. Okay. So, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm just trying to follow up on the news every day, especially these days with the 9/11 commemoration ceremonies there and everything. So, just as a 30-second comment,
yeah, but
there.
You can stay on after the break if you want.
Yeah, as everybody knows, after Chemnitz in Germany, there was another fatal stabbing by two Afghanis in the city of Ketten in Germany, just north of Chemnitz. And people gather around, after the stabbing, people gather around as a response to the event and started protesting and everything. And there was this video of Russia Today from Sunday or Monday, I believe it was Sunday, there was this vigil of people there, and they were holding candles, and there was a very encouraging event happening there from Germany, where the people gathered and they chanted the now banned pre-1945 version of the German national anthem.
Okay.
There's this...
we're about to go to break, but could you hang on and tell us about this after the break?
Sure.
Okay, good. I'm expecting the music to start playing. Otherwise, I'll start singing. Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Playing that music a little extra long in honor of Rosh Hashanah. Oh, and to all of my Jewish audience, Shalom. So are you still there, George?
I'm here.
Okay, good. So you got cut off, you were saying.
Yes, very inspiring, very encouraging news, very moving to watch and listen to. People holding their vigil there. They were chanting the pre-1945 now banned German national anthem. And for our listeners, for those listeners who don't know, the national anthem allowed to be chanted to be used today in Germany is this Kumbaya version, this human rights mambo jumbo version of their national anthem. These people were chanting the good old version of Deutschland, Deutschland über alles in der Welt. That means Deutschland, that means Germany above everything in the world. And these words, these phrases are now banned, totally banned in the German state. And these people were chanting this version of the anthem. Very encouraging, very inspiring, very moving.
Do you speak German, George?
No, but just a little bit, just a little bit.
Because I have a question, and maybe you're not in a position to answer it, but that Deutschland über alles, Deutschland above all, it had been my understanding, and maybe this is a whitewashed understanding, but that, of course, Germany is a country that was formed through the union of all these various German states, Prussia and Saxony and what have you, Bavaria.
Right.
And that Deutschland über alles, at the time it was written, meant your loyalty is to Deutschland above all. It's not to Saxony. It's not to Prussia. It's not to Bavaria. It's to Deutschland.
Yes.
It wasn't intended to mean, you know, Deutschland above all the other countries of the world. But I don't know. I don't know what, I mean, I don't speak German. And I don't know the words of the song.
Yes, Germany was unified in the late 19th century. As a state is pretty newer than Greece. Mm-hmm. we became a state in 1826, and mm-hmm. the Germans became united in the late 19th century. And I believe that the version of the anthem dates back to the beginnings of the Third Reich. The music is from Austrian German composer Joseph Haydn, that lived in the 18th century. He was a contemporary to Mozart. They were good buddies. He was a very successful composer, and it's from a work of Haydn in four parts. This specific part is from the Emperor quartet, I guess, or something. It's a composition of the 18th century by Joseph Haydn, and it was adopted by Germans to use it as the music for their national anthem. And I guess for the Deutschland über alles wording of the anthem came into use during the Third Reich, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's good to see that the Germans are finally starting to assert themselves face of this massive invasion.
They have started using imagery and sounds from the pre 1945 era, and it's very encouraging. Very encouraging. They have started getting rid of all their guilt, I guess, and have started waking up. And it's extremely important because Germany is the heartland of Europe. If you take Mackinder's theory of the heartland, the concept, mm-hmm. Germany stands at the heart of Europe, and it's very important for the whole of the rest of Europe. And unless Germany wakes up, we have no hope in Europe.
Right. Well, it's good to hear somebody who is not a German, somebody from another part of the continent, speak up on behalf of the Germans. Maybe that will give them the courage they need to stand up for themselves.
Bear in mind, here in Greece, we had the extremely brutal German occupation during the war. Many people were executed. But hey, that's what war is all about, right? It was not a civil war. The Bolsheviks in Greece, Greek Bolsheviks in Greece, killed far more people than the Germans did during the civil war that followed the Nazi occupation. But we had many people executed. But that's war. It was wartime. It was war fatalities. When it comes to Germany and the German people, and especially National Socialist Germany, I admire these people. I believe they're very, very nice, very decent people. They have a heart inside them, a big heart. They're gentle people. They were the driving force behind European civilization all the way from the 16th to the 1900s. Take science, take music, take culture, take romanticism, take everything. Nietzsche, all the philosophy, continental philosophy, was a German concept. And they're very, very important. They're very important people. The Germans are a nation that has a lot to offer and has offered so much to humanity in general. They're the heartland of Europe. We Greeks were at the beginnings there, but the Germans took it from there and made it something a little bit different, but equally valuable. I love the Germans. I hope they wake up one day, and that will give us hope and wake Europe up. Germans have to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right, and it's good to hear. Somebody who's from a country that had been occupied by the Nazis to be able to say exactly what you said. I think that's very important. Well, do you have anything else to say before I go to my next caller?
Sure. Have a great day, Dr. Slattery. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call, George. Okay, next we'll go to Wayne from West Virginia. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Slattery. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you loud and clear.
Good. What I wanted to mention real quick was I understand that Trump is going to cut the funding off to the Palestinians until they have peace with Israel. And I wanted to say that if he really, really wanted negotiations between Israel and Palestine, he should also cut Israel's funding off.
You're just so right, obviously. Yes, yes.
And that would create an immediate meetings. So, you know, that's sort of my thoughts for today. And the other thing I did want to talk about, I'm a historian, history buff, and I... World War One and World War Two is one of my areas that I cover pretty extensively. And in my area, I had a caller in on the local radio station that was a prisoner in World War Two, and he was captured. He was a gunner. And they were flying over Romania and bombing the oil over there, destroying the oil wells and what have you. And his plane was shot down. I thought it was an interesting story. And the gentleman said that he was captured by a captain and a sergeant. And the captain had a brand new Mercedes that he got in, and he said, I'm going to have to take you to the prison camp, but I have to make some stops, and I have to let the sergeant off, and there's nowhere for you to go or run, so don't even try it. So he agreed, and he said to the captain, he said, boy, this is really a nice vehicle. He said, how did you come about having a new Mercedes? And he said, the captain said, oh, the Fuhrer gave it to all of us Luftwaffe officers for a Christmas present. We all got a Mercedes from him. And he said, now look, I'm going to, he said he stopped at several posts and got out of the car and left and came back, and he said, the captain said to him, he said, look, I'm going to take you to the prison camp here, and I'm going to turn you over to the Romanian military, because when we're in a friendly country, we let that country run the prison camps. We really don't have anything to do with them. And he says, so I'm going to drop you off here, Sergeant. And he says, you know, he said, I got out of the car, and the captain, you know, threw his hand up and saluted me, and he said, Sergeant, he said, good luck. He said, I hope you make it through the war, okay? And he said, you know, it was a very nice conversation he had with the officer. He said then he was released and sent to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And finished his, and was released from there with to the Americans. And, of course, I know the story there. What had happened was the king had been put under house arrest originally by the general of the Romanian army, And, of course, the Romanian army then joined the German army and helped the German army fight the Bolsheviks. And at that time, our great president, Roosevelt, had told the king that if he would make an announcement and sign up with America and support the Allies, American Allies, that he would make sure that Romania was, after the war, was a free country, which he lied to him because he had already told Uncle Joe Stalin that he could have Romania. So I thought that was an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman was, matter of fact, he lived out the road from me, but I've never met him. But I wanted to pass that little story over.
Okay. Well, thank you for that story. Okay. Well, I'll be going on to the next caller then. Thanks for your call, Wayne. And next caller is Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, there used to be a radio show Sunday nights on here. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it might have been, it had to do with eschatology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the places I started picking up on a lot of this stuff. The linchpin for a lot of the events that are described in Daniel is, I think, Daniel 12:9, where it says, when you see the power of the holy people has finally been shattered or broken, depending on the translation. And then, you know, you have to just ask yourself, gee, well, what would that be? And you jump into Revelation, it talks about 1,290-some days, I think, or basically 3.5 years, from the time that the daily sacrifice is ended. And that is when everything comes to pass that's depicted in there. And that is has to be, what else can it be but 70 A.D. And when that way was ended, then that only left the way being, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the light, Yeshua. So, I mean, there's so many things there that line up to fulfillment that anybody that wants to rebuild a temple, it's almost like a lot of Christians are forced into going back to the Old Testament fables and discrediting them, because all of the Old Testament came through the Babylonian captivity. It got filtered and rewritten and all that after the destruction of the first temple.
Mm-hmm.
In the story.
So are you making the point that the what we look at as the Old Testament is not necessarily true to what was originally written, that it came through kind of a filter?
Oh, it came through a big humbling filter. They had the, you know, the Hebrew people, I think, were favored by the Most High. They were. But as Daniel says, when you see the power of the holy people has finally been broken, then what are you left with? You're left with Yeshua as the Lamb of God. There's, you know, and that in effect, I think, broke the concept of the original sin. So the whole idea about the people being under sin because of Adam's fall, Yeshua became the way, the truth, and the light. And I, the only way, I guess, to reject that is to walk yourself off a cliff into the lake of fire. I mean, it becomes a voluntary act, perhaps because of your shame. I don't know. I mean, if you have no way to get rid of your shame after this life for not having studied to show thyself approved, you know, as I think Isaac Newton tried to boil it down to a logical argument that, you know, if there is nothing after this life, then what have I lost by learning these things?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing much. The universe won't even miss us. I mean, you know, a big comet could come into this planet, which is ridiculously, astronomically improbable that it's even here. I mean, you look at the tidally locked moon able to eclipse the sun, and we're There are so many factors and so many things that's happened to this planet, and yet it's still here and can support life. I mean,
okay.
If I can hang on, I'll give one more incident from 2003.
You can hang on. You can hang on.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Mike from Kentucky. So, Mike, you had one other thing you wanted to mention.
And I kind of got cut off there, so it kind of interrupted my flow of thought there. But on this third temple thing, ye are the temples. I think he said that directly to his followers, you know, and then there's the concept in Hebrew or in the Old Testament that that was the power of the holy people, where heaven met earth, where the sacrifice could be made, and it was either accepted or rejected, and would result in the sins of the people being forgiven for another year or whatever. They were supposed to keep, I think, four major high Sabbaths. But that was, you know, the temple was the heaven and earth, the place where heavens and earth met. And he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so that temple is gone, and it fulfills Daniel 12:7, and then that lift us as the temples. So we, in effect, are the third temple. If anybody wants that third temple, whatever number we're up to, But it's hard to know what direction things will go. But I think by evidence of the scripture, his kingdom has no end. So when is there an end of time, as in astrophysics? There was an event in 2003 that was a pretty good warning to us. If you remember the Banda H tsunami that occurred, there was a tremendous astronomical event called a gamma ray blast, which stripped away and damaged the upper portions of our atmosphere for something like 50 years. It initially was thought to be 44,000 light years
away. Okay, so you're talking about the big tsunami in the Indian Ocean around this late December 2003. Is that what you're referring to?
Right. Prior to the gamma ray blast that may have caused that, there or been a factor, was a gravity wave that initially traveled faster than the speed of light. And initially it was thought to be 44,000 light years away, but they've looked at the timing between this gravity wave, which never made the news, and the gamma ray blast. I found articles for that way up into February of 2005, but it got, you know, lost in the news. A lot of people don't know about this. The U.S. Navy knows about it. But that's a hint at the type of astronomical catastrophes that could occur, and over the supposed billions of years of the existence of the universe, could have easily wiped us out long ago, or made it so that this planet would not harbor life. So you start looking at all of the Goldilocks factors for us even being here and being self-aware and can appreciate the eclipse. You start to whittle it down to where there has to be a creator. The odds are, as Isaac Newton might say, is too ordered. And the second law of thermodynamics would point toward everything going toward chaos, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to discourage anybody from their beliefs, because I don't have beliefs, and I think it's good to have them. Well, I guess I do. I have my own beliefs. But, you know, regarding Goldilocks, the thing is, there you can't have self-aware light. I suppose you can't have self-aware life where you don't have conditions just right. And if conditions are just right in one spot in the universe, that's the only place where you can have that self-aware life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it becomes infinitely improbable almost for it to be somewhere else under these conditions.
It can be improbable. Who knows? But it was an interesting discussion, and our time is up for today. But thank you for calling, Mike.
Thank you.
And hopefully I'll be back with Mark Dankoff again tomorrow, but certainly tomorrow will be another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.